If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Psalm 34? This is a wonderful psalm, and this is a psalm that spoke to me through my life even before I became a child of God. I want us to consider what God says to us tonight in this psalm. God's word says this: I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and may the Lord add his blessing to that short reading of his precious and holy word. Just before I sit down and hand over again to Rodney, that verse 6 says, this poor man cried. That is the sign of a seeking sinner. Verse 6 says, and the Lord heard him. That is the sign of a sympathetic Savior. Verse 6 says, and he saved him out of all his troubles. That is the sign of a satisfying salvation. Men, women, tonight, have you that truth in your heart that you are assured of a satisfying salvation? Just want to thank Rodney, the oversight of the church, for inviting me along this evening to just share with you in your service here. I want to thank the brethren, sisters, and the band for coming this evening and for playing. And as I was listening to you, as you were coming around the corner, you were playing a hymn that was very well known to me. And I would safely say without contradiction, we were the first flute band ever to play it. And you played it tonight as a hymn called Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God. And I was just telling friends, they're sitting here, I can call them friends now, I've known them for nearly 3 weeks. They were on a big boat with me. It was a big boat. It was about nearly 7,000, if not 8,000 of us on the boat. So it was a big boat. And we met when they were telling us where the lifeboats were. And that's a good place to meet. When you're being shown the road to safety and where the lifeboats are, if the ship goes down, this is where you must gather. This is the boat that you will get on that will save you. And tonight, men and women, there is a lifeboat here for each and every one of us. It is called the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we can put our safety tonight. That's where we can be this evening in time of danger. We can come to Christ and be born again. The band was playing Seek Ye First. And if you ever seen a documentary on television about Gregory Campbell and Martin McGuinness, that was the tune that was played in the background, and it was our band that was playing on it. And that documentary was banned from the air for many years and only played maybe a few years ago for the first time ever. And we used to play that tune, and unknowns to me, I didn't know that it was called Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God. And that's the last tune I ever played on a flute band. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And tonight, that's the most important thing for each and every one of us gathered here, that we would indeed seek the kingdom of God. Now, I had not intended to read these verses, but they just came to me as I was looking up that other verse that we read in Psalm 34. And if you were to look at Psalm 33 and verse 12, it said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." I see many men here this evening with beautiful collarettes on, and ladies also. And you have Bibles and you have crowns on them. And I know that you wear them with pride. I know that you wear them because you believe that they are the emblems that you should be wearing. But God forbid that you're only wearing them for emblems. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And my question this evening is God your Lord? Is Jesus your Savior tonight? Have you put your faith in him? And if you were to go to Leviticus, and again, I had not even intended to look at this, but if you were to go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 1 to 13, God promised Israel many wonderful blessings if they would simply obey him. God says the rain would come in due season. The land would yield its harvest. The trees would yield its fruit. And their food would satisfy them. Can we not say in this land of Ulster that God has satisfied us? Can we not say this evening that there's a church on almost every street corner that we have the ability to go to and hear the precious word of God? And God has satisfied us, and yet many of us still hunger because we have never really fed on the word of God. We have never really taken the word of God to heart and applied it to our lives that we might be free men and women in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was coming into Ballymena there about 2 hours ago or more, and I seen a big sign up out of the other side of Harryville. Isn't that the way I come in? See? And you know what it said in the sign? Can anybody tell me what it says on a big sign as I come in to Ballymena? Does anybody know what it says in the sign? It says Ballymena. So then I knew where it was. And I knew where it was supposed to be going. But there's another big sign beside it. And you know what it says on it? Jesus Christ is coming. Are you ready? Men, women, boys and girls, if I see some boys and girls at the back, I got to close this Bible and say amen now. Because that's a sermon in itself. Are you ready? Because that's all God wants to know this evening. Are you ready? And that's the most important thing. You men, I know you have been up half the day getting yourselves all polished up and all, isn't that right? Look, they're shining at the front. And you done all right, missus, as well. She's sitting in among all them men there. Didn't take you as long, I know. You're a lot prettier than some of them boys. But you men look forward to this evening, didn't you? You men set this aside in your calendar, didn't you? You must have, or else you'd have been somewhere else tonight. You young bondsmen, you have relished coming here this evening because you're able to put your uniform on, you're able to come out, you're able to play the hymns and the tunes that you have practiced. So you've looked forward to this, and you prepared for this, to be here this evening. But the most important thing is, have you prepared for heaven and for eternity? That's the most important thing. Let me tell you something. I was born in Ballinahinch, and I thought to be an Orange man and to be a Protestant was the most important thing that I would ever want to do or be. I was born in a Protestant home. I was brought up a Protestant. All my family were in the organization. All my brothers, my brother, my father, my grandfather, my uncles were all Orange men. They were all black men. They were all apprentice boys. Every one of my family was in a band of one description or another. My uncle started Ballinahinch Pipe Band. My father was in Ballinahinch Pipe Band. We all drummed in our house. My grandmother played a lambeg drum better than any man you ever heard. I used to see my wee grandmother standing with a 3'6" lambeg drum and her wee arms coming out round the side of it playing. Boys, you'd have put a man to shame. And we all drummed in our house, and when our dinner was put out at night, my mother never put a knife and fork on the table until it was time to eat. Otherwise, you wouldn't have heard your ears. My mother was no mug. But I thought the greatest man that ever lived was a man called King William. So much so that 40 years ago, when my wife told me that I was about to become a father, there's everything that fell out. I'm a blame Libby because you never packed that right. I went to Belfast, to Charles Street South, and I had this miniature lambeg drum made with King William. The portrait on the front of it is my son's drum. He's 39 years of age. I've had that drum for 40 years. William Hewitt says, how do you know it's a wee boy you're going to have? Says, hey, it would need to be a wee boy. And anyway, if it's a wee girl, I'll teach her how to play it. And that's my son Mark's drum, and I thought the greatest man ever lived was this man here. That's the name of my own band that I started in Ballinahinch, on that drum, and I lived and I ate and I slept being a Protestant. And I thought the most important thing in life was the Protestant faith. A young man in my band, and he was only a teenager, painted that in oils for me because he knew that I thought this man was the greatest man that ever lived. Young Bran came down one night to the band practice and said, Sammy, I painted your hero. That hangs in my office, by the way. Doesn't matter who comes in. This king, as far as I was concerned, was the greatest man that ever lived. And I was brought up in a home that no one was saved. And yet my mother used to send me to the church every Sunday morning, never missed. And yet my mother didn't know Christ. My father didn't know Christ. My mother used to get Jim, my brother, and myself up every Lord's Day morning. She got us ready. I used to have a cow's lick. My mother used to go, and stick it down the side of my head. And then she used to do a very strange thing. She used to take a big white hanky out of her apron, as she wore an apron or an overall to keep her good clothes clean. And she used to roll a big white hanky into a poke. You see, like this here, you're watching now. See you young fellas at the back and them young girls. She used to, and a big poke like that there. And then you know what she used to do with it? Hope that's clean. It is the old. I have to remember what packet I put them in. Oof. No, that's the right one. I'm no mug. Always use the right hand packet. Then she used to poke it up my nose. Then she used to poke it into my ears. Then she used to wipe my eyes with it. I used to say, "Ach, Mommy, we should do that the other way round." Your mummy done that in you? Aye. Do you get sent out on a Sunday like out there and she pokes in your ears and up your nose and makes yours no blares in your eyes? My mummy sent me to Sunday school, it was shining and it was like a new pin. By a mother who didn't know Christ. Who never experienced the love of the living Christ for her never dying soul. But she sent me to the house of God to hear the word of God. And I can remember hearing God's word in that Sunday school by a faithful superintendent. Maybe some of you men, some of you women, some of you other younger girls at the back, It's only a couple of years I know, really. Do you work in a Sunday school? Do you work with the young people? Well, keep on doing it. Because you don't know one day a wee boy, a wee girl's going to trust in Christ because of your faithfulness. One wee boy or one wee girl will stand at the front of this church someday and give testimony to the glory of the saving of Christ for their never dying soul because of your faithfulness in the place that you are worshipping, irrespective of where you worship. As long as you preach Christ and Him crucified, and preach the blood, and preach redemption, and preach sin. Never forget to preach sin, because so many churches today are heart fear to talk about sin. Know why they're fear to talk about sin? Because they're fear of the people getting up and leaving. Oh, don't tell them they're sinners, they'll not come back. Friends, you'll answer one day if you're a teacher, a superintendent, a preacher, if you don't preach Christ and Him crucified and preach about sin and forgiveness and righteousness to come. I heard that God loved me in Sunday school. Yet I watched the collection being lifted there this evening and noticed it took him a while to come near me. You must have heard about me, did you? You did. When I was a wee boy, I used to see a wee boy or a wee girl in our Sunday school come round and lift the collection. And I used to say, that's some job. Wonder how you get your hands on one of them plates. Every Sunday, somebody lifted all this money. That's handy. That's easier than working. Aunt Annie, because that's what I called Miss McGowan, the superintendent. Aunt Annie, yes, Samuel, could I do that? No. Why not? There's somebody doing it, that's why. I says, right. Following Sunday. Aunt Annie, yes, Samuel, can I do that? No. Why not? There's somebody doing it. I says, how come there's always somebody doing that? So I used to get my mommy to get me up early. So as I would be in church first. So as that she couldn't ask anybody else, but she would have to ask me. And one Sunday she asked me, she says, Samuel. I says, yes. She says, lift the collection. I says, praise the Lord. I says, Aunt Annie, what do I do? She says, I'll nod. And when I nod, you lift the collection. I says, right. So I had my wee plate. And in Ballinahinch Congregational Church, we've got green mats in the bottom of our plates. That shows you don't hear the money rattling. Presbyterians, they have blue plates. Free Presbyterians use buckets, but there you go. I thought, right, she's never going to nod. And she was telling the story, and I says, she only told me she was going to nod at me. But all of a sudden she finished and she nodded and I got up out of my seat and I went like a shot out of a gun. I want you to listen very carefully. I lifted all the money in my class out of it and the next over and the next up and the next cross and the next down and the next over and the next up and the next down and the next in the next over and the next up and the next. We have a big Sunday school, by the way. I lifted all the money in all the Sunday school. I didn't realise I was only to lift in the class I was in. That was the first mistake I made. I had everybody's money in my plate. Was piled up. First mistake. But the second and the biggest mistake I made was I made my way to the back of the church hall where the two big grey doors were. And I opened one of them. And I took off up to the Moor Street as fast as my legs would carry me. For I thought when you lifted it, you'd be keeping it. I honestly thought whoever lifted the money was allowed to keep it. What was the point of lifting it and giving it back to her? She'll let her lift it herself. I didn't think there was any point in that. But you know, I was running up the street that Sunday afternoon, up past the fire station in Dermore Street. Miss McGowan died when she was 87 years of age. But she wasn't 87 that morning. And she came up the road behind me and she caught me. And she caught me by the back of the neck. And she took me back into Sunday school and she sat me down and she said, Samuel. Why did she say Samuel? Any idea? Have you no way levels? Well, you see, that's what you call me. So this was personal. And she knew me. So she was speaking personally to me. You see, if she'd have sat in that room and only her and I in it, and she'd have says, "Hey, Rodney," that is just who she's talking to. But she knew me, and she knew my name. And I want to tell you something tonight and assure you from the precious word of God. God knows you tonight, and God knows your name here tonight. God knows everything about you here tonight. The man next to you doesn't know about the things that you've done, the things that you've said, or the things that you're about to do, but God knows. And God knows your name. When I say Samuel, put your name in. Miss McGowan looked at me and she opened up the Word of God and she said, "Samuel, the Word of God says, I shalt not steal." Well, I just stole a collection, hadn't I? Broke the commandments right away. "Samuel, the Word of God says, be sure your sins will find you out." Right? "Samuel, one day you'll give an account." That's the big one. That's the big one. "Thou shalt not steal." You're looking at me tonight and you're saying, "That boy doesn't know me. I never stole a thing in my life." Did you not? Have you not? Are you sure? What about when you were a wee boy in school and you stole somebody's rubber and wouldn't give them it back? "Thou shalt not steal." What about the time your mother wasn't looking and her handbag was sitting in the kitchen and you opened it, you opened her purse and you took money out of it and she never knew? There's two or three smiling at the back very broadly at the minute. "Thou shalt not steal." But let's say tonight that you're sitting here and you said, "I never stole a rubber, I never stole a ruler, I never stole a pencil, I never took no money out of my mommy's purse." I doubt that there's anybody in here tonight can tell me they never stole anything. But I want to say to you tonight from the authority of God's word, if you're sitting here this evening in the meeting and you're outside of Christ, that is to say you're not saved, then God's word says that you're a thief. How so? How does God's word make you a thief if you're sitting here tonight not saved? Because you're here with something that doesn't belong to you. You brought something into this church tonight that's not yours. Anybody want to tell me what it is? It's your soul. My Savior died for your soul. My Savior paid a price for your soul. Your soul belongs to Christ. And tonight, if you're not born again, then you're stealing the soul for which Christ died upon the tree for. God's word says, "Thou shalt not steal." God's word says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." I went home that Sunday afternoon. My earthly father, Martin Graham, and that's what he was. He was my earthly father. He used to be a conductor in Ulster Bus, the UTA. Not the UDA, the UTA. And he used to be taking the people home from our church, and he always asked how I behave. "How did our Samuel behave?" "Oh, let me tell you, Martin, what he done. What did he do? He stole a collection." "He what?" "What did Miss McGowan tell me? Be sure your sins will find you out." Well, my sins found me out that afternoon, for my earthly father came into the house. We lived in a wee house in Lisburn Street. We were sitting in the front room. It wasn't the front room, it was the only room. And my father came through the kitchen, or the scullery, depending on where you're from, you know. And there was a big Jawbox sink in it, or a Belfast sink, call it what you will. And my father walked through the scullery, opened up the door, and he says, "Hey, boy." And I went, "What?" And he took me into the scullery, and he took a big leather belt off. And now I know why my mummy says you couldn't swing a cat in this kitchen. Because my earthly father lifted lumps out of me with a leather belt. Because I stole a collection. Not because I got caught, but because I stole. Because I'd done wrong. And my earthly father punished me. Put your hands up if you think my earthly father didn't love me. Nobody put their hands up. He lifted lumps out of me, and nobody's going to put their hands up, so he still loved me. I already did. And I loved him with all my heart. And I knew he loved me. But yet he punished me because I had done wrong. But he still loved me. And he was teaching me a lesson. Go you home this evening when you get home and you open up this book and you open up the Word of God and you search through the Scriptures for yourselves where it will tell you that God will punish you with a big leather belt. You'll never find it. You'll never find it because it's not there. My earthly father punished me with a belt. I thank God this evening I have a heavenly father. My heavenly father says there is a punishment for those who disobey him, for those that die in their sin. It's not a leather belt. It's eternal separation from himself. Now, the Bible says that. I don't say that. I wouldn't have the knowledge to say that. God says in his word that if you die in your sin, you will be eternally separated from him. Now, if you're going to be eternally separated from him, where are you not going to be? You're not going to be in heaven, because that's where he is. But I'm smart enough to know that there are only two places in the Bible that are ever spoken of, and that's heaven and hell. So if you're not going to be with him in heaven, where are you going to be? You're going to be in hell, men, women, and boys and girls. I'm sorry to say that. That's not me. That's the Word of God. But yet there's a remedy for it. And that remedy is called salvation through Christ, through blood, through faith. Faith is very simple. Forsaking all, I trust him. Who are you trusting in this evening? I thank God that that day came in my life, and I know I'm running out of time, but I thank God in my life, it came that day in my life when I realized that I couldn't live a moment without him. I'm all tattooed. I wanted King William tattooed on my chest going across the point, just like in one of those emblems there. Thought it'd be great. Thought it'd be lovely to be able to go. One of my best friends was a man called Steeler Bill. His real name was Bill Pertree. That's why he called himself Sailor Bill. And I had the place up in Coleraine. I used to go up to him nearly every other weekend. I says, Bill, I want you to tattoo King William on my chest going across the point. I says, I need to get him on. I can't live without him. I says, I thought it would be great on a 12th day if it was sunny. I could take my shirt off and I could walk about the field and it'd be like a banner with no poles. Wouldn't that be lovely? Do you ever see him breathe? There he is, breezing in the wind. Lovely. Well, I wanted him on. Bill says, Sammy, take your shirt off to get a look at you. So I took my shirt off and he says, think I'm going to have to put him on a Shetland pony. He was only joking. He was only joking. I says, I'll tell you what, Bill, I'll come up next Saturday. He says, now you have to come twice to get this done. I can't do this all at once. I'm not allowed to. You come up next Saturday, I'll start it off. He says, I'll put him on. Come you back next Saturday and I'll put the horse on. I says, you will not be putting him on first. Why not? I says, Bill, if you put him on first and I renege, that is to say, if I never come back, I says, I'll never be able to take my shirt off again. I says, I couldn't go about and him floating about and no horse under him. Now, wouldn't that look lovely in holidays there, me going about? He says, Sammy, if you come up and I put the horse on and you don't come back, what'll happen? I says, I'll tell the people he fell off. See, I had an answer. I had an answer for Bill. Albeit to you men and maybe women and young boys and girls this evening, sounds funny, but that's the answer I give him. You see, I know quite a bit about King William, and I sincerely hope you men and women know the same. Otherwise, you shouldn't be wearing them collar hats. You see, the night before the Battle of the Boyne, does anybody know what happened to him? Well, he was shot and wounded, and he was hitting the left shoulder as he reconnoitred the troops. And I was going to say, well, that was the night he was reconnoitring the troops. He's lying behind a horse. I had the answer. What about you men, women, bondsmen, boys and girls this evening? Have you got an answer when that question is given to you on that great day of judgment? What have you done with Christ, my son who I sent to save you? What will your answer be on that day? In the light of what you're hearing right now, because you're being told of your need of Christ, you're being told that there is a Savior, you're being told that there's a heaven and there's a hell. You will never look into the face of God as and from this night, and I'm quite sure you've all heard the gospel long before ever I brought it this evening. But let's say you had never heard it. You will never stand before God after this night and say to God, no one ever told me. There is an awesome responsibility in every man, woman, boy and girl within this building this evening to make a decision here this evening. And whether you like it or not, you will make a decision this evening. You will either leave this place this evening and reject Christ, or you will leave this place this evening having accepted Christ. But a decision will have to be made one way or the other. You see, when King William came here, he only ever spent 12 days in this land. And almost 9 months prior to King William coming here, he sent the Duke of Schomberg here, and he landed in Grimsport, and he reconnoitred and surveyed the whole land for almost 9 months, 10.5 months. And when William landed here, he came with 700 tall ships, the biggest invasion force that ever landed on these shores came through King William. How many horses did King William bring with him? Has anybody got a clue? Because most people seem to think that he just rode a white horse. I doubt that King William ever rode a white horse, because it would have been a very silly thing to do to go into battle on a white horse now. See the boy on the white horse? Shoot him. King William brought over 1,000 horses with him when he came. How many soldiers did he bring? Does anybody? No, I don't want names and addresses. You're all right. Well, he brought 36,000 troops with him. He brought Dutch troops, Danish troops, French troops, Huguenot troops, German troops, Irish troops, Catholic troops. And how many men did he fight against? Well, he fought against 25,000 men. Where did he fight his first battle? 9 miles from my house. Now, that was nothing to do with me, because I get to blame everything on Ballinahinchlig. But that was nothing to do with me. Sad thing to say is, you see the first battle that he fought it in Dromore, just 9 miles from my house. Do you know what happened? He got beat. But he learnt from his lesson. And he left Dromore and he went to a place called the Bleaks. And he began to train his men, knowing that he was heading to the Boyne. And he took his soldiers to Scarva, and he trained his men under the Spanish sycamore tree. And he went to the Boyne. What length's the Boyne? You know the glorious Boyne that we all sing about? What length is it? Well, it's 70 miles long. And King William hadn't got a sat-nav, and he crossed at one of the narrowest parts of it and shallowest parts of it. Yet he had no survey done at that stage. And the Sunday before he fought the Battle of the Boyne, King William was at a church service, and our brother Rodney spoke to you earlier on about being in the house of God on the Lord's Day. King William was in the house of the Lord the week before he went into battle, and he was in the Presbyterian Church in Corporation Street, and he sat under the ministry of the Reverend George Royal. And he preached on Hebrews, "Thou shalt subdue kingdoms." And as he finished the sermon, he preached one verse, and it was, "When thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee." And William went to the Boyne, and William achieved something at the Boyne that every man, woman, boy and girl should be proud of in this day and generation in which you live: freedom and religious liberty. And 500 years ago, the scriptures were nailed to that door that still gives us that liberty today, as men and women and boys and girls of the Protestant faith. But let me say this, men and women. I'll take my shirt off now and I'll show you something in finishing. Well, I'm not bar taking it off, all right. I don't have King William tattooed on my chest. I never went to have it done. I reneged before getting him, horse, or anything on. I don't know why I never had it done, because I always wanted it. And to this day, I could not answer you why it was never put down on there. But I know one thing. I do not have a king on a horse on my chest. But what I have this Lord's Day evening in Ballymena is a king in my heart. I ask you, men and women, boys and girls at the back here, do you have that king? Who are you serving today? The institutions are what the institutions are. They are founded on the words of God, the scriptures of God, and should be maintained in the things of God. But I ask you today, on that great day when you close your eyes in death, will you be absent from the body and present with the Lord? On that day when you take your final breath, will you be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is far better? This evening hour, the Lord says that he sent his Son to die for you. Can you honestly say with me, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. May God give each one of you the grace to put your faith in him this evening. That's why he sent his Son, that you might be redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. There's a wonderful hymn, we sing it in Ballinahinch. I am redeemed, O praise the Lord, my soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. I thank God the day and hour of my life that I give it to Christ. And he came in and saved me by his grace. Saved me from paramilitarism, sitting in an inner council of the UDA and the UFF. God entered in. God saved. And I thank God. God has continually kept and watched over my life from that moment that I put my trust in him. Rodney spoke about faith at the beginning. Forsaking all, I trust him. Who are you trusting? There is grace here this evening. There's grace sufficient for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Do you know what grace is? God's riches at Christ's expense. We're all in debt this evening. Pay the debt before you leave. Give your life to Christ. Amen. We're going to close our service by singing these words. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. 617. It will come up on the screen there. So, well, 617. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. You know, men, you'll all be mad if you're carrying the banner. Are you lifting up the banner of Christ? I spoke in an Orange Hall there about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. There was a banner at the back of the hall. I was telling Wilma and David this here about a week ago. There's two very large flute bands brought to hear my testimony, Armagh True Blues, and another big flute band, Annochmore Flute Band. Four young backsliders couldn't understand why they were backslidden in the Lord. And they asked, would I come and give testimony? I went up, and they brought this big band, Armagh True Blues, down. They were all there and reading of. I says, I'm sure these boys really want to be listening to me preaching. So I gave them a life story, an hour and a half. There wasn't one of them got up and walked out. And at 1:30 that morning, I had to ask them to go home. Question after question after question after question. In fact, I run out of answers. I could only point him to the scriptures. There was a banner at the back of the hall. On the banner was David and Goliath. I asked them whose banner it was. They said it was their own banner from the hall. Let me tell you something, man. Some of the men that walked behind the banner didn't even know what it was depicting. They hadn't a clue. You know what one orange man told me? It's a wee boy fighting a big man. I stood with tears running down my cheeks to think that there was a boy, a man from Ulster with a collarette, a band uniform on, and all he knew about the things of God was that it was a big man fighting a wee boy or a wee boy fighting a big man. He had never opened up the Word of God to read the Word of God, how God protected his own child. No armor on. His armor was within. Ask yourself why you're not saved here this evening, men and women. Are you frightened because you have no armor? Are you frightened what's going to be said to you tomorrow? Put Christ in your heart tonight and he'll put the armor of faith around you